side of that coin is God all powerful? Because if God is all powerful, why is he not doing anything about my situation? In theology, we call this a theodicy, okay? We wonder if God is good or if God is all powerful. If God is good, why does he allow evil to happen? If God is all powerful, why doesn't he do anything about it? Well, one of the things we learned that sometimes in the waiting, God is trying to do something in us more than he does something for us. Amen? In week chapter 1, we said that sometimes God seems inattentive when we pray specific prayers and we look for Jesus to show up a certain kind of way. And in some instances, all God does is just give us a word. And I know what you're saying. Well, sometimes, yeah, I need a word, but sometimes I need to be brought out of a situation. And we looked at John the Baptist, and we saw how desperate his situation was. He looked for Jesus to show up. Jesus only affirmed who he was. And it's only in hard times Jesus is affirmed as who he is, because he is the one who sustains us through every season of life, even if it don't turn out the way we want it. But then there are times when God seems late, and we said that in those moments, we pray a certain expectation to the Lord, but oftentimes God exceeds our expectations. Amen, somebody. We may say, God, I need you to show up this kind of way, but he says, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or even think. So we talked about how God is, you know, he's incomprehensible. Like, we can't even really understand all of God, but at the same time, God is knowable. We get to know him. We get to spend time with him. We have relationship with him. So God is able to do great things. Amen? But then last week, we pushed it even further. We said that sometimes God seems uncooperative. We're saying, God, as Paul said, I have this situation. I prayed not one time, not two times, but three times. And only God says, but my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And sometimes we have to be reminded in that, not when things are going well, but when things get hard. Amen. And then Paul says, and it's so that God's power might rest upon me. So as we go through, we're trusting that God's power will rest upon me. But the question that I want us to really answer or really want to wrestle with is, did God design it this way? Did God design life to have peaks and valleys, good and bad? Did God mean for this to happen just like that? Well, the answer in short is really no, okay? When you go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God created everything. And the Bible says, and it was good. God looked at creation, and at that time, creation was a direct reflection of who he was. God was good, therefore creation was good. However, you know, sometimes we have appetites that steer us the wrong way. And then sin came into the scene and wrecked everything. I want y'all to hear me. When they sinned, it affected everything. No longer was everything all good, but now things were affected by sin. Okay? So that affected relationship with God and man, because remember, when they sinned, they decided to hide from God. It's amazing what we'll do when we're in sin. Y'all left me by myself. We'll do some crazy stuff when we're living in sin. One of those things is we run and hide from Jesus. I don't want him to see my slip hanging. I don't want him to see. Because that's what we think, that we can hide from God. But then the second aspect is that it also affected the relationship between man and man. Because notice what happens. They begin to blame one another. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. We still doing that today. Hello, lights and walls. We're still blaming each other for things that had happened 10 years ago. Okay. It's getting quiet up in here. But then the third aspect, watch what happens. It affected the very ground they were standing on. Because if you remember, in God's creation, it never mentions that there were thorns. They were working. It was cool. It was straight. But when sin came in, now all of a sudden, thorns show up. Life has gotten hard now. All because sin came into the world. So it does not matter how sanctified and how many hallelujahs you have in your soul. You and I would never be exempt from hardship as long as sin exists in this world. But the promise that we have is that as long as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he's able to sustain us when all of life tries to pull us apart. Okay, y'all don't believe me. Okay, in Colossians, he says, all things are made by Christ and for Christ and through Christ. And by this, he says, he's able to hold all things together. So if we really believe that God created all things, do you think that he's God enough to hold all things together? Absolutely. But sometimes we forget that because we're in this waiting season. Tell your neighbor, he's just perfecting you. He's perfecting you. And one of the things we learn about this waiting season, we learn really two things before we get into our passage. We learn two things about waiting. First of all, we learn that God cares about us. I know it don't seem like it when you're waiting, but God cares about us. Write down Romans chapter 8. Y'all have heard me quote this many times over. Romans chapter 8. And we'll look at verse 38. Just kind of jot it down. But I'm going to read it to you. Verses 38 and 39. He says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Do you hear what I'm saying? He says, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. So even when it feels as though we're unloved by the circumstance, Paul says, don't feel unloved. Know that you are loved and nothing can change that. And I want to say it even like this, that God cares about even the little things in your life, not just the big things. We think that God's only concerned about the major things in our life. God cares about our headaches and our heartaches, our emotions. He cares about everything. So there's nothing that God doesn't care about. But then not only does he care, but watch this. The Bible says that he hears our prayers. And I want you to hear this. God hears your prayers. Say it one more time. God hears your prayers. Even when your circumstances have not improved, it does not mean that God has not heard you. I got some Bible to go with that. Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verses 19 and 20. Watch what he says. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God. Watch this. Because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. Did you hear that? He has not rejected your prayer. Now, how many ever felt like it felt, though, he has rejected my prayer? Okay, we didn't get saved today. Okay. Okay. I'm not saying that it's a reality. I'm just saying, has it ever felt like he has rejected your prayer? Can I get at least one or two? Okay, now we got some. Okay, now we got some real people in the house. Because it feels, especially when your circumstances hadn't improved or changed, you say, okay, God, you ain't hearing me. And I'm not glad about it. Because we need God to show up. And we need him to show up right now. Everybody say, right now. But here's what I'm learning. Sister Matt, this is what I'm learning about God. When God answers, watch this. It is so life-giving, though, and so nourishing. It's not just, when God shows up, it's not just going to be about you. When God shows up and answers prayer, it moves beyond you and start touching the lives of people around you. Okay, let me give you an example. Years ago, when I was being disobedient to my call, I'm trying to reconcile. God, you're calling this dude. Okay, y'all ain't feeling what I'm saying. God, you're calling me to do what? You dialed the wrong number. I told Jesus, I said, you need to call my neighbor. But one of the things that God showed me, as long as I was being disobedient, God was causing turbulence, not just in my life, but in the life of other people that I was connected to. But watch what happens. When I decided to surrender to God's voice and surrender to God's will, the turbulence that was affecting my life and my neighbor's life, God seemed to all of a sudden start to ease that stuff. So God wasn't just blessing me for the sake of blessing me, but he was blessing me for other people. So when God blesses you, it's not just about you. We don't mind praying prayers. God bless me, enlarge my territory. And God says, I will, but it's going to touch other people's territory too. Ooh, got quiet right there. So whatever God does is long-lasting and sustaining. So what I want us to do, I want us to look at a passage that talks about this waiting on God. It's a blessing on waiting. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to pick up at verse 27. We won't get there in just a second. Let me just kind of give you the context of this. Chapter 40 begins the second section of the book of Isaiah. The common theme for this particular section is focused on salvation and future blessing for the people of God. At this time, those who were hearing this and reading this, they were getting ready to go into exile for 70 years. Okay? They were going to be in bondage for 70 years. So here's the word that God gives Isaiah to King Hezekiah. He says, behold, watch this, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And just jot down Isaiah 39, verse 6. He has given them a prophetic word that all the things that you have right now won't be here always. So let me just pause here parenthetically. Sometimes God gives us a word, and it's not always going to be you're going to be blessed and highly flavored word. Y'all left me by myself. We don't mind the prophecies that tell us how God's going to open up doors and make a way out of no way, but how do you handle when God gives you a word that you're about to have some hard times in your life? We ain't gonna shout over that. That's when we start questioning God. God, are you really real? Are you really there for me? But here's the one thing I learned, that even when God gives us those prophetic words, he doesn't always give us a timeline on when it's gonna happen. And sometimes it's all right for him to not tell us. Okay. If God gives us a word, we wanna know when, where, what time, so we can show up then. Oh, y'all left me by myself. Lord, you need to give me the details of the situation, how I'm going to feel in the situation, when the situation is going to end, and what's going to happen after. But here's what the Lord showed me on that. If that becomes our focus, we'll make the end more the focus than our face to God. Oh, my gosh. Because then if we knew what the end result was going to be, we would fix our eyes on the end rather than fixing our eyes on Jesus. And Jesus says, I ain't going to have that. So I'm going to allow you to go into this season. I'm not going to give you a timeline, but no, I'm with you, and you will endure. You will make it. You won't quit. Watch this. But I need your face to me, though. Because when I used to run marathons, I hated, but I kind of liked the fact they would have these mile markers. So I get to mile one, which is very discouraging. It's just mile one. All right, 12 of them jokers to go. Mile five. Okay, will they knock some of these signs over for a minute? Just because I don't need to be reminded where I am in relation to where I'm trying to get to. And that's exactly what God, he says, I'm not going to give you any mile marker because I don't want you to be discouraged by trying to look at the finish line and being reminded on the way, and you get discouraged and frustrated and your emotions start overwhelming you. He said, I need you to fix your eyes on me. Because our natural inclination is to lower our eyes to what we can see and fix our eyes on that. And Jesus says, no. Put your face to mine, and that's going to sustain you. And so these hearers needed to hear an encouraging word. They needed a word from the Lord to remind them of who God is and what God is able to do. So it's important to know that when God gives them this prophetic word of doom and gloom and despair, he also gives them an encouraging word. And it's good to know that when you get ready to go into some hard times, God can give you a word that will sustain you in the fire of life. So he don't just say, all right, figure it out. Because that's what we would do. Okay, y'all left me by myself. How many of y'all got children that have gone on to college? Some of y'all? Okay. How many of y'all have children that just left the house? Just. And I'll say, right here, I just, I'm not even sure how to interpret that right here. But I've had some parents that literally will help usher the kids out the house and just tell them to figure it out. I know ain't no saint in here has ever done that. Some of y'all lying. Some of the kids are already pointing right here. This is my. But see, the beauty of God is God not like us. He doesn't just push us out the door and say, good luck, figure it out. God says, I will be with you. I will not abandon you. I will not quit on you. I will guide you even when life gets hard. So he gives them an encouraging word. So he tells them, all right, y'all going to suffer for 70 years, but let me give you a word. So let's look at verse 27. So as we go to this passage, when God answers, it reveals really three truths. The first one is God is aware. Tell your neighbor, God is aware. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Oh, gosh. All right, so I need you to think parent mode, okay? The kids, the people of Israel, they're complaining because they're feeling as though that God has totally ignored their needs. Okay? One of the things I love about my children, they always remind me that, you know, they say, what are we having for lunch? As if we have forgotten they need to eat. Has anybody ever been there? What are we doing for dinner? As if we have all of a sudden forgotten that our children need to eat something. This is the kind of attitude that they have right now. They feel they've heard this word that they're going in exile for 70 years, and they're saying, wait a minute, we're the people of God. Have you forgotten? Oh my gosh. Our ways, have you forgotten who we are? Have you forgotten? I mean, the nerve. The nerve of these people, or rather, we ought to say, the nerve of us people. Because if we're not careful, Diane, we'll do the same thing. That when we find ourselves in certain predicaments, we feel as though now God is no longer aware of our life, that he has given up on us. Okay, God, you must not really be paying attention to my situation. You don't know. And God is saying, no, I do know. Matter of fact, I orchestrated everything. If you remember a few weeks ago, I said, for God, nothing just occurs to him. Nothing just catches God off guard. Just, ooh, this just... Huh. But because God is sovereign, God is orchestrating every one of our steps. Write down Psalms chapter 1, verse 6. He says, and the ways of the righteous are ordered by God. So everything that God does, God is ordering every one of our steps. So preacher, I hear what you're saying. So preacher, what you're saying, he ordered my steps into this disaster. Absolutely. Yep. Did God know that this was going to happen in my life? Absolutely. Did God care about this situation? He does. Why did he allow it to happen? Because our natural inclination is to want to blame God. Why did God let this happen? Here's what I'm learning. If you remember early on in the sermon, I said that we live in a broken world. And that means that we will experience brokenness in this world. We are not exempt from brokenness in this world. So we cannot lay the blame on God. Now God, watch this, even when he allows disaster to happen in our life, the Bible says all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and call according to his purposes. So although in his infinite will, he allows it to happen, but guess what? It produces an all good for his glory. I know what you're saying, but I don't want to feel this. I don't want to hear that right now. But he is perfecting everything concerning you. Tell your neighbor, he is aware of everything. And watch this. And I know sometimes we don't like to deal with this, but I'm going to deal with it. God can handle your emotions, too, about the situation. Okay, y'all got quiet on me. Y'all got emotions. Okay, y'all getting saved on me, okay? Y'all got emotions. And God ain't afraid of how you feel and what you feel. He can deal with your emotions. So if you're angry, he says, I can handle that. You sad, I can handle that. You discouraged, I can handle that. When we acknowledge our emotions, it's to say that I'm being real about my situation right now. Okay, y'all, okay. Here's this quote from Peter Scazzaro. He wrote this book called The Emotionally Healthy Church. This is what he says. He says, ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. He says, listening to our emotions ushers us into reality. And reality, watch this, is where we meet God. Emotions are the language of the soul. Okay, y'all left me by myself. They are our cry that gives our heart a voice. He is simply suggesting that when you acknowledge your feelings and your emotions, it is that you are being transparent and real about where you are. Can it change the situation? Probably not. But it's now being real. Because you know how we can have that sanctified fakeness, right? Y'all left me by myself. And then we take that sanctified fakeness before the Lord. As if he doesn't understand our emotions and our pain and our gripe. He said, take the mask off, be real about your situation, and I can heal you in the situation. It's not time to fake and shake Jesus. Hashtag fake and shake. And every now and then we need to be reminded that our ways are not hidden from God. So every step, every thought, every feeling is not hidden by Jesus. He's not afraid of it. So let's look at verse 28 and 30. It also shows us not only is God aware, but watch this, God is able. Everybody say, God is able. And I love the words of Isaiah. This is what he says. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting or the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power, underline that. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even young people, everybody say young people, shall faint and be weary. Even young men shall fall exhausted. So, What does Isaiah respond to this rebuke of the people? He says, y'all have forgotten, y'all have lost y'all minds. In so many words, he says, y'all have forgotten who God is. Let me pause here, pray a thing. Have you ever felt like that? That you have been so overwhelmed by your presence, you think that God has forgotten you? Tell your neighbor, he hasn't. Okay, tell the other neighbor, he has not forgotten you. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? So he's asking the people that you've forgotten that the Lord is eternal. He is everlasting. He's the creator of all things. The temptation, watch this, is for us to start projecting onto God our experiences. Okay, y'all, okay. There's a term, anthropomorphic, okay? It's this idea of saying that God demonstrates man-like traits, okay? So when we say the hand of God, God really doesn't have a hand, okay? When we start, what we start doing, start anthropomorphizing God. God, if I'm frustrated, then you frustrated. If I'm weak, then you're weak. If I'm tired, then you're tired. And we start making God to be like us. But God is not like us. God doesn't do like we do. God is able to do more than we can ever ask or think. So let us not forget who God is, even though our situations may try to convince us otherwise. So stop projecting onto God. He ain't like us. Oh my gosh. Tell you, David, he ain't like us. He doesn't get weak. He doesn't get weary. His strength, we can't even comprehend his strength. And watch this. And I love what he says to the people. Because he doesn't lack any strength, now watch this. He says he's able to give strength. Okay, I want y'all to catch that. So when we acknowledge that we are weak in our bodies, that we are weak in this journey, the Bible says that he's not so selfish that he's going to withhold his strength. What God does is he says, I got all the strength in all of eternity. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lend you my strength to help you in the circumstance. You see, God demonstrates that he is a constant giver over and over and over. And so when we acknowledge to him, God, I am weak, he says, okay, here you go. There you go. I got you. I got you. You come to me, I got you. Now again, resist the temptation to project onto God because we think, okay, I've gone to my friends and my friends couldn't help me. I've gone to my friends, they couldn't pray me through. Okay, I've gone to my friends, they left me. I went to my friends. God says, no, if you come to me, I will always have you back. So don't start projecting life experiences onto God. Say, no. Friends may have rejected you. That's okay. God says, I won't reject you. So God is able to supply your strength so you don't have to rely on your own strength. Okay? Resist that temptation. Don't act like you got it. Trust the Lord that he got it. All right? God is aware. God is able. And watch this. God is available. Pick up verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, watch this, and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now notice what he does not tell. He does not tell them that you will avoid the situation. But if you endure, now remember, for 70 years, they had to endure. God says, but if you wait on me, I will bring about restoration. God is available to renew our strength if we are willing to endure the season that God has for us. And he says, and watch what I'll do, and I will strengthen you as a result of your waiting. The temptation for many of us is that we want to rush through the season of suffering and not experience God strengthening us. Okay, this idea of waiting in the Hebrew is kavah, and it's this idea of taking these strands of rope and you just keep binding them together over and over and over, because the more strands you add, the tighter you make it, the stronger it becomes. And so what God says, as you are waiting, what I'm doing is winding up all these various strands of your life experiences, and I'm making them tighter and tighter so that you can be stronger and stronger for the season ahead, okay? Because remember, they can go into 70 years of suffering, and God said, but I need you to wait on me, because when I bring you out of the suffering, you're going to be stronger for when I bring you out of it. Okay, so we can't speed through the suffering, because this is how God strengthens us for what's ahead. So God says, I'm not going to open the door for you until I know that you have been made strong enough to handle what I'm going to do in your life. And the problem is, for many of us, we want to hurry up to the outcome, and we haven't been made prepared for what God's getting ready to do in our life. And I just believe that in the season that God has us in, that he is strengthening us for what's ahead. But we got to go through the process over and over and over. He lays the rope to make us tighter and stronger for what's ahead. I don't know what God has for us, but I know he is strengthening us for what's to come. I remember reading a story about this fellow by the name of Derek Redmond. Write down Derek Redmond. He was a sprinter for Great Britain. He was the anchor leg for the 4x400. And Britain was doing great in this race. They were killing the game. He was ready. He was waiting on a baton. Perfect exchange. Boom, I got it. He's taking off. Boom, he's going. He takes the curve. Ruptures his Achilles tendon. Down on the ground, face first. There was this gasp in the stands. It's over. What are we gonna do? All of a sudden, this older gentleman comes down from high up in the stands, runs down onto the track, grabs the man, puts him around his shoulders, and picks him up. And the official said, "Wait a minute, you can't be on the track. Get off the track." He says, "This is my boy. And I see him in pain. He wants to finish this race, and he's going to finish this race. And I'm going to help him get there." And so as he's taking his steps, helping his son along the way, he crosses the finish line, and people cheered. They celebrated. He didn't win the race, but they cheered and they celebrated. Now, he was dirty. He was cut up. He was bruised. He was beat up. He was hurt. He was in pain. And yet, he was able to finish the race. Why? Because his daddy was sent up high, who looked down low, saw his son's situation, was willing to come down from the stands and pick him up and dust him off and help him to finish the race. See, we have a daddy just like that. He sits up high. And he looks down low, and he sees every one of our situations. And watch this. He don't just stand idly by and says, "Good luck. I hope you finish." But he steps down. Wait a minute. Let me step down. He says, "I'm going to come down the stands, and I'm going to make sure that my son and my daughter, they're going to pick up, and they're going to run this race, and they're going to do it well." Stand up, my friend. You got to run this race. He ain't running the race. He going to run this race. Because guess what? He got some help. Good job. And the beauty about Jesus is that he's not afraid to step into our situation and pick us up and help us to finish the race. Because we cannot do this in our own strength, but the Father will show up every time. Every time. But you gotta wait on him. As he's strengthening you. He is strengthening you. Tell your neighbor, he is strengthening you. Strengthening you. Do me a favor. Grab the person's hand next to you. And maybe you have felt as though the Father hasn't stepped into your situation. The one part of this story that you cannot miss is that he got in the race. He was ready to run. Disaster came. He couldn't plan for it. He didn't expect it. It came. But he was running the race. Something happened. But his father showed up in the something. At the end of the day, you still got to show up for the race. Every one of us got to show up for the race. And this race that we're talking about the race of life. It is not time to quit because life has gotten hard. Well, God is saying, I need you to show up for the race. Just know I'm going to always be in the stands watching you. Whatever I've called you to do, I'm in the stands watching you. So I need you to run. Don't worry about the outcome. Just run. I got you. And I want you to pray for the hand of the person you're holding right now. that God would help them to stay in the race of life, that they don't throw in a towel too soon. Matter of fact, pray that they are not afraid to even get in the race, that God has called you to do a certain work, and God expects you to get in the race. It's not time to sit idle and hope somebody else do it. No, God's called you to do it. Oh my gosh. God's called you to do it. Now pray for that person right now. Say, God, I need you to move on their heart right now. That they will get in the race. That they won't be afraid of what their eyes are seeing. That they won't be afraid of what they're sensing, they're feeling. That they will get in the race and run and know that the Father is watching every minute of the race. And that he is able to step in when needed to help us finish strong, to help us to finish well. God has not forgotten you. Just pray and remind you, God has not forgotten you. Squeeze that hand. God has not forgotten you. He has not abandoned you. Thank you, Lord. God is aware of your situation. God is able to do something about your situation. But then God is available to give you what you need to endure. And I declare right now, we will endure. We will rise victorious. We will rise in Jesus' name. Because he will strengthen us for the race. He is strengthening us in this race. Thank you. Thank you for every experience, God, good and bad. God, thank you for every trial and triumph, God. God, thank you for every peak and valley, God. God, thank you that you have used every one of these experiences, God, to strengthen us for what you have in store for each and every one of us. Father, I thank you right now, Lord, that many of us have endured well, but Father, I pray for the person, God, who is not enduring well. God, pray that they would not forget who you are, God. God, you are a mighty God. You are strong in power, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for being who you are when you need us to be. God, thank you for meeting us where we are. God, thank you for meeting us where we are, God. So God, I pray right now, Father, that we would not fix our eyes on the situation. I pray that we would not fix our eyes on the finish, God. Father, I pray that we fix our eyes on our Father. God, we fix our eyes on you. So Lord, as we go down from this place of worship, God, we know this, God. God, we don't go away without you. But God, we go with you because you've come down to meet us in this place. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel like I'm that person that's not enduring well in the struggle. God, I find myself facing certain circumstances and I find myself questioning what it is that God is trying to accomplish in my life. If that is you, would you just kind of raise your hand right where you are? You're saying, Pastor, that's me. I need the saints to pray with me so that I can endure well. Thank you. I want to be able to endure well for the season that God has for me. Amen. Thank you. I see you. Hallelujah. Let's also be praying for the Stovall family that they would endure well in the name of Jesus. For all those who are having difficulties, God, we lift them to you right now, Lord. God, we thank you. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I heard you talk about this Jesus, and we sang about him, it says that death could not hold him down. God, we thank you. And because he rose victorious, your life will also rise victoriously. And if you hear you saying, Pastor, I haven't trusted this Jesus, my desire to trust Jesus for the very first time, would you just raise your hand right where you are? You saying, Pastor, I have not trusted Jesus, but I need to trust Jesus today. Or you may be saying, Pastor, I've drifted from you. I've drifted from Jesus. I need to restore this relationship right now. And if that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Amen. God is in the restoration business. God is in the restoration business. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, we thank you again for what you have spoken in our life, that when you answer, God, you answer with life-giving answers and soul-nourishing answers. So, Father, I pray that as we endure, as we wait on you, Lord, God, that you would show up and give us that word of encouragement that would aid us in this race called life. So, Father, I thank you for whatever the outcome is going to be, God. We rejoice because at the end of the day, God, your Bible tells us that we are victorious because you are for us. So, God, we stand on your promises. God, we stand on your word. And, God, we fix our eyes on you from this moment forward. God, may you receive all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.